So it's my fault that we are late because I was the moderator in charge. So I just do a 10-minute wrap-up of what to say in English, and I think those guys have to go home. Okay. Digital cultural heritage. When I see that up there, I'm wondering, is it digital cultural heritage or is it cultural digital heritage? What comes first? So maybe this is a question that can frame the whole discussion we're having here. This is a point we have already been talking about in various aspects, but I want to summarize it for the general strategy of the research and conservation activities of the Boltzmann Institute. Each work of media art is related to three fields, evidently, and it's based on technology, it is related to the discourse of contemporary art, and is part of the mass media situation, which is significantly changing in the last 15 years, for example, regarding the internet, from being a fringe medium to becoming a mainstream mass medium. So in the work of the Institute, we have to relate to all three fields. We have to be aware of the technical changes regarding informatics and the possibility of long-term storage technologies. We have to be aware of the art historical methodology, like Gunter Eisinger sketched it. And we have to contextualize that in the overall framework of media and art historical development, which is the aim of this conference we did today. So these three fields are perfectly in match of what Gunter has been describing and what we are doing here now, and of the informatic part that has been visible through Gunter's presentation. If we now look at NetArt, we can say that all three fields have been significantly changing since the 1990s, since the heroic period of NetArt, so to say. There's an overall transformation from analog to digital, which has become mainstream, and the internet has entered a mass media, has the impact of a mass medium now, so it's a shift from broadcast culture to online culture. And also the field of contemporary art has been significantly changing because the discourse-oriented 1990s art, which was, for example, the initial moment for Wolfgang Stähler to fund the thing, he wanted to take that discourse into a new kind of tool, which was a BBS system at the time. This has vanished, and we have now, again, a representational culture. If you look at the last documenta, the discourse is almost eliminated from the contemporary art field. So all three fields have been changing, and if you talk about archiving and maintaining and conserving net art, you should talk about all these three fields. So why are we tackling net art at all? Isn't this, we have been discussing it, a failed movement? Was it ever a movement? Is it worse looking back at that stuff? And is it a kind of romanticism that there was still this idea of a media-specific art which has been lost now, I think, in the post-media situation? So do we try to legitimize the existence of our institute by these efforts, maybe? No, I don't think so. You know, I come from Marcel Duchamp and Dada, for example. These were my roots in the early 80s. And I have been working on the reception history of Marcel Duchamp. And he was a virtually unknown artist in the 1950s. He was completely erased of art history, you know. So I'm not kind of predicting that that will happen with net art, you know, because he was a single artist figure which had a very good strategy of installing himself and of waiting for his time to come. And I don't know if net artists are that smart, but we will take our share in responsibility in helping them to be smart. But Lev Manovich said 12 people can change history yesterday, so we are 12 people, that's why he said that. We still hope we have this power to be a little share in pointing at the fact that this erasure of net art from the general visibility is something that will maybe not continue to be erased, but that we can maybe re-enter through in a certain discourse, especially regarding Web 2.0, that makes visible, like Mark Rees has been showing, that some of these concepts have been there in the field of these small communities that were forming in the field of culture and art society, and that now somehow explode into society at large, and that there is something happening, like Ted Nelson said, which is certainly a creative production, even though it is not called, or sometimes doesn't want to call itself art. It relates back to this prehistory, which is only 10 years ago. You know, it's a short period of time that we're looking at. And there is this interesting quote somewhere, which I try to trace where it's coming from, that 5 years in the net, no, 1 year in the net are 5 years in reality, you know, so it's like a dog's life, you know, so it's compressed time, you know, so I have various sources for it, but I never found the originally idea where it came from. So this compression of time is very interesting for me, so you have to behave in a very different way if you're a historian. You cannot go this slow pace and let's wait how things happen for a while. You have to be part of that rat race somehow, you know. And the other thing is, you still want to work for eternity. So how can that match? Being part of this quickly changing environment with all these fields, and still science should be something you still can relate to back in 50 or 100 years. So I think it's three things, three paradigms you have to follow. You have to watch out for variation, and that is something also Gunther has already been explaining. See, there is no stable basis for media art in general, and even less for net art. You have to think not of a piece that is sitting somewhere in a museum in the depot, and you still look at it if it's still there once in a while, and if something crumbles, you have to adjust it a little bit with the brush and bring it to the restoration department. This doesn't work, you know. You have to think of a fluid, ongoing process that is swimming in this changing environment as an island in a river, much as you held your hand while rowing in the water. So this is the situation of a media art piece today, I think. It is due to variation and to the changing environment, much like music and much like theater, for example. That is why Gunther Eisinger was absolutely right in pointing at music, where there is this combination of continuity and changing. You have the original notations, and still you have the changing environment of the performance of the media situation and of the reception situation, which is very important, because you have to consider that looking at net art in the early 90s was just a totally new experience, and now it's just like a standardized experience of clicking through a browser, you know. So even the behavior of the public is changing. There's two more models I want to add to the complexity of possible methods. I talked about music and theater, but you also can think about architecture and about, what is Denkmalpflege in English? Those people who take care of the monument heritage. Because these are things that are in permanent use. Think about a Gothic cathedral. People still go in and walk out and they do their services there. It's still a functioning church, and it is a monument at the same time, you know. So it is in the flow of time, and it continues to be used and to be maintained while it is used, you know. So that is this paradox that doesn't fit into the art historical idea of putting something in the depot and sitting there without looking at it, that you can drag it out 500 years later and look at how it was, you know. And so I think architecture, music and theater are the models we have to watch out and keep away from art history. And variable media has been a model thinking in that direction, which has been successful in a certain way, but is only a model and is not really applied in a day-to-day practice in museums. And coming to the next point, selections. You can't keep everything. Gunter said that we don't want to do the overall history of net art. Verena didn't want to do that in writing, and we don't want to do that on a digital basis. We have to select, and we have to be cruel. There have to be some things which have to die. And this has been always like that. I think we, from early Renaissance painting, we keep something like 5%. And we still talk about early Renaissance painting, and we think we are right in talking about it, you know. So 5% is enough. Let's keep to the 5% limit. And you have to consider selection is not only about history, it's also about future. Once you decide you want to keep something, and you're committed to do that, you have to have a permanent investment of money, because digital art needs a maintenance. And that is a concept that is not around in art very much, maintenance. You have to maintain your car, maybe, yes? Or sometimes you have to update your software. But maintenance of an artwork in the process of its existence is something that, at first glance, is weird, but it is exactly that what is needed, because even when this institute will cease to assist, which will happen in 2012 because it's a seven-year project, we have to find somebody who will keep on this effort of maintenance. And I had a very interesting discussion in New York some time ago when I presented the Media Art Net project, when I was telling how much money was spent on this documentation, not even of original works, but just of video clips and texts about it, and that it's very important because all these art forms get lost. And then an artist stood up and said, this is where the money goes. The funding for producing media work is significantly cut because you now get all the funds for maintaining it. So the history is eating up the future, something you have to consider somehow, you know. And there is all this hype about the conservation of media art, and there are symposia about that and research strategies all over the world. It's a community that is building. And we did a kind of meeting of the people working in the field June last year, and we will do another one where we cordially invite you at the time of the Replace conference in Berlin. We will do a pre-conference workshop for experts and specialists, which we want to bring together to share the information in that community, this time especially on online archiving of media art. It's true, there is a significant amount of money involved, and it's coming from the same budgets, you know. Okay, you have to consider that your task is even more serious because you're taking it away from contemporary art and investing it in history. So you need a value discussion in the selection process of what to maintain and what to dump. And nobody will ever, we will never have the situation that everybody will be happy with it. The other possibility to this relatively expansive and complex project of keeping the digital originals is the one of documentation, which is important for the Boltzmann Institute also. So those things that get lost should at least leave traces that you can find back, you know. And that is why we, for example, work with the huge holdings of the Ars Electronica archive, which in itself is not an archive, but it's just an accumulation of the activities of Ars Electronica. And we try to apply some archival strategies, for example, putting metadata, metadating, like you said it, with the metadating with the Ars Electronica archive, just that this huge load of entries that come in, it's 35,000 entries already now, with 3,500 new coming each year, so that they can be traced and looked for even if they are not maintained in this sense of working with original data of a net art piece where just you have to work for a month on one piece. You cannot do that with 3,500 entries per year, evidently, but you have these traces of these entries as a process of documentation so that even those who are not maintained probably have some relics in the digital domain. There is something very special about the NetArt project we are doing here, the Net Pioneers AT, that we get all this material for free from the artists. the three projects that Gunther mentioned, the Thing Vienna, Public NetBase, and eToy, we don't grab them out from the web, but we get the source material. It's lying there on servers. The Thing, for example, was offline already, and we kind of put it back on the web, or the other artist gave us a selection from their hard disk collection, you know. So we don't grab it from the web like the web archive, for example, archive.org, but we work with the original material. This is very important to know. And it's a very privileged situation, but it makes also the task of working with this material very complex because you have to look into your data. You don't have like a standardized grabbing material where you just have like a surface overview, but you have to look what is there in the digital material itself. That is why we have to be so selective. And there are other archives which we can link in this specific situation, which we have in Linz to getting this original data material. We have, as I mentioned, the Ars Electronica archive, and many of these projects that we talk about, like Konrad Becker's and eToy, also left their traces in the Ars Electronica archive because they got a golden Nika, both of them, for example. So you have additional material of contemporary commons at the moment they got that golden Nika, which is very interesting. And you have the Austrian Broadcast Archive, where a lot of documents of interviews with these artists are, because all of the artists relevant to the field of net art that ever have been relevant in the frame of Ars Electronica and that got a reward or a honorary mention have been extensively interviewed by Austrian Broadcast Combination. And you have an archive of press clippings, you know. So these sources are very privileged in this Linz situation, so that's one of the reasons why we're here and why we're not in Berlin, Vienna, or where else. And this brings me to the end of my presentation, maybe, that this idea of community, where Mark Rees has been explaining that it has to be re-evaluated now under the hype of Web 2.0, and that this idea of community is something that was very virulent in the Austrian scene, and especially in the Austrian scene of the 1990s, because there have been three significant projects in Vienna. And that's not true of Berlin, New York, Frankfurt, Paris, London, funny enough, you know. So why Vienna? This is one of the questions that I'm asking my Austrian colleagues as a new Austrian, and I didn't find out yet. So maybe that is the kind of final specificity of the project, although we won't want to keep it within the Austrian borders after these three projects, including some more maybe, because there are much more Austrian projects, as I've mentioned to you, what there is around. There is the group Blix that you mentioned. There is X-Space that was funded by Gerfried Stocker and Horst Hörtner. There are the early telecommunication projects that Mark Rees talked about, funded by Robert Adrian X. There is Station Rose, which was performing at Ars Electronica yesterday. So, and the Kunstradio online site, which is a combination in some parts of radio broadcast and online. So why did all that happen in Austria at a certain time? This is a phenomenon that for me is very hard to explain and where maybe just a cultural sociological look would help to explain why this Austrian specificity is there. And as an Austrian institute, I don't mind to talk about that. I asked some people, and there were very various answers, including the isolation of the pre-opening to Eastern European part of Vienna, where there was this kind of dead end of the Western world. Or Peter Weibel told to me that maybe the traces go back to the 1960s cybernetics, so that would relate back to the conference we did last year, because there were people like Oswald Wiener or Heinz von Förster, which were important in funding the cybernetics, and their thinking was still virulent in the Austrian context. So it's a mystery still to me. So, but we won't keep it in the Austrian border. We want to extend also to other selected projects, including possibly, for example, the Thing New York. We're just talking to those guys. So that is something we can tell you maybe next year. So that was it. And it was just a very rough wrap-up of the general strategy to frame the much more precise discussions that Gunther Reisinger has been giving to you. And maybe just the last slide we have. This is how the presentation will also look on a more physical level. once we finished the implementation of the work on the thing. So you will have three steps of the existing platform in his appearance, where you just have always the changing front page. And then we come back to the philosophical discussion, what we're doing here if we're working on such a project. Once we got rid of this museum original, which is signaling the depot, what we're doing here, is it documentation? Is it reconstruction? Is it restoration? Or is it simulation? I think we get into very deep philosophical matters, and this is something we will continue to discuss in the team, or hopefully with you for dinner. Okay.